That was the most jam-packed show we've had all year.
Oh, look, it just Jason Byrne, the comedian, it was all about Dan Merritt getting Marto to get his ass ready for a mate, moment together.
We had Mark Webber on the show. We had Paleo Pete.
He was so funny.
Oh, man, Gordy Tallis.
Gordy Tallis. Oh, God. When Gordy Tallis is the seventh thing you mention, you know it's been chockers. Mm. Enjoy Le Catch-Up. We will talk to you very soonies.
Marto, yep. Get your ass cheeks ready, mate.
Stop that.
Big weekend, huh?
Uh-huh. Okay.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch-up for the new fragrance, Diesel Bad. Available now at Chemist Warehouse.
Jason Byrne is one of the... He's absolutely fantastic. Some of the best nights you can have in a theatre or a space is to watch Jason Byrne just go absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Jason.
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, we're very, very good, mate. We were chatting off... Us. It's lovely to see you. I was telling the guys off-air about how much... great crowd work you do and how sort of interactive.
Well, first of all, okay, can I just say quickly that I've been doing a two-hour show, okay, yeah, where I do an hour and then a break in an hour, but I come over here and you only get an hour. And last night in Brisbane, I do a bit of signing afterwards and they were all asking me, like, you know, because I've got props all over the stage. I didn't really get to the show at all last night. we're in front of a Brisbane crowd.
Brisbane crowd is mad.
Yeah, well, this was it, right? There was a guy... Hope he's listening, Elma. He was a guy and he had like a plaster on his hand. And I seen that and I went, oh, you know, a bloke with a plaster. It's barely, you know, not as tough as women. I was going, what's that for? And he went, oh, I cut me finger, right? I went, look at the size of the plaster, though. And I said, it says, where'd you cut your finger? And he went, oh, in Bunnings, right?
Inside Bunnings?
Inside Bunnings. I went, you cut your finger in a hardware store? And he went, yeah. I says, how? And he said, oh, I was reaching for the saws. Right?
Oh,
a
no.
saw, right? And I said, but if you're getting a saw in a hardware store, it's covered. The blades are covered, right?
Plastic.
And he goes, no, I cut it on the saw shelf. He cut it on the... This is not a joke. He cut it on the shelf of a saw. I went, who does that?
Who's going to let him have a saw?
Oh, man, as I said to him, yeah, like you'd have your arms off. So he was... So that's like 10 minutes in, we're talking about Bunnings and him going... And another guy said something over to my left. I said, oh, who are you? And he went, oh, Tony, whatever. And I said, where are you from? He went, oh, Ipswich? Is that a place?
Yeah.
Ipswich?
Western
and then film. Matt goes, that's where I cut my finger.
So they start talking to each other.
Yes, so they start talking to each other. And then Matt goes, do you know the Bunnings at Ipswich? And
it's massive.
And your man goes, yeah, I know it, yeah. And, he goes, I know the saw shelf.
I know the saw shelf.
Welcome to Brisbane.
I'm standing there, and I said to the audience, you don't need me here.
No.
Why are you? And everybody listening in, and if you're all from Brisbane, just hire a room.
Well, Jason, I was seeing a comedian once, Dr. Brown. You know, he's a great comedian, he does a lot of physical stuff. I swear, it was this little bit where he did at the start where he would come out and he would sort of, it's all physical, and he pretends to steal little things from the audience and he runs behind a curtain, right?
Mm.
And I'd seen him do it in Sydney before, Jason, and he started doing it here in Brisbane. And I turned to my wife, I was with me, and I said, this isn't going to go the way he thinks. This is Brisbane. And he took...
What?
He
What's
took,
that mean?
He took this. Mean? He took this big bloke that was in the front row, looked like he'd been dragged there by a girlfriend, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He took his shoe, right? And he got one step before he got back towards the stage and the bloke crash tackled him.
What?
No just
way.
Tackled, just tackled
oh,
him.
Oh, wow, good old Brisbane. Give me stuff, that's me shoe. Oh, I love that. Yeah, I get people up on stage as well.
Hey,
last,
what are you looking for? Like, who are you grabbing?
Well, I mean, here you have to say, you know, you've got to be a bit more careful with the Brisbane. You know, I kind of groom them from the stage first, have a little look, see who's not going to, like, rugby
Do
tackle
that.
Me. And I got a guy up last night as well, and he got up. He was sweet. He was a lovely kid, and he had to do like kind of sound effects of on a beach. It's a stunt thing that I do, okay? And I made him do the noise of the breeze on the beach, let's say, and then waves. Yeah. It's really funny.
How'd he go?
Yeah, we're not great. You know what I mean? Like a wave was. Right, that was a wave. But then I said, can you do a seagull, right? And he did a seagull. And then I said, has anybody else got a request from the audience? God, this is just comedy in Brisbane. Is just brilliant. And a guy in the front goes, how about a seagull? And I went, he's just done a seagull, right? And he goes, oh, I thought you said a sea eagle.
Yeah, I don't know when you said it.
Yeah, so
what, the, what the hell's a sea eagle?
A seagull.
Yeah, seagull.
You know, the things that eat
chips. No,
saying
the gull bit.
I said seagull. Yeah. That's my Irish accent, saying seagull.
Yeah, but that's
which one
are
you saying? Seagull.
That sounds like a seagull, which is actually a football team.
Yeah, but that's not a real bird, is it?
Yeah, eagle.
Get off, there's no eagles in the sea. Eagles go hunting in the wild out in the forest. What kind of place is this?
You need to just say seagull.
Yeah, but that's it. You see, that's why Irish people don't have time to speak. We're too busy.
Yous
are way more relaxed than us. So you have time to say seagull.
That
takes half an hour to say. So you're much better off just going seagull.
Do you know much about Australian animals?
Yeah, I've seen a possum last night.
Oh, they're horrible.
Now, this is the thing, right? Oh, my God, because somebody like me, they're really cute, big eyes and the little hands, right?
Now, listen to this, right?
We're sitting there having a beer after we're just sitting out, and the caretaker just comes out, right? And we were going, I look at the possum, and he goes, yeah, they're disgusting. And I'm on my holidays. And he went, oh, those things are vermin. They're worse than rats. He goes, don't touch that. It lives in its own filth. And then he went back in.
Suddenly he didn't hit it with a broom.
I didn't know what he was going to do. And the possum was just sitting there looking at him, going, I didn't do anything, mate. Just sitting here looking at everyone, and he's going, you're disgusting. You made me want to get sick. So the comedy show which I'm doing tonight and until Sunday in the Powerhouse, I don't know if I'm going to get it done fully. Like, people even last night said they're going to come back tonight to see what happens.
To see the actual show. I remember once, Jason, it was one of my favourite moments. You were doing your show and someone heckled you. Someone had taken some minor umbrage. It was like the seagull, sea eagle thing. Someone took some tiny little umbrage to something you'd said, and maybe it's something you do a lot, but you dragged them up on stage and made them lie on the ground so they could see how small the point they were making was.
Oh my God, I remember that. When I was pointing at it, wasn't I?
Yes.
Oh, yes, that's right. So I know what that was. I remember this because it was his age.
Oh, right.
I remember it was a kid. I said something like, are you 19? He went, no, I'm 20. So I got him up on stage and we both lay on the ground. And I basically, with my fingers, like, made a little gap with both my fingers and went, that's the size of the point you're making.
Oh, that's great.
Right there. And I made him point at it. And he was like, I'm really sorry. He went, yeah.
You
too right, just sorry. So, I mean, look, with Brisbane here, people say, you know, don't heckle me because I'll get you up on stage and make your point.
Fair point.
But basically, in Brisbane, it goes both ways.
Well, the show is propped up.
If it gets done.
Yeah, absolutely. At the Powerhouse until Sunday.
It's free in if you can say seagull.
No, seagull.
Say it.
Jason Byrne.
Seagull.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming in, mate.
Hey, guys, can we talk about boxing?
Mm-hmm. What?
Because I know it's not in the normal sentence that would come out of my mouth, but this week I recorded a new ad for Old Mac Mazda because I do some stuff for them. And I was talking to Cleve, who's kind of the owner of Old Mac Mazda, and I think he's like maybe in his 40s or coming into his 40s, and he's decided to put himself in a boxing ring.
Oh, I've seen these.
Okay, well, I've got him on the line. Hey, Cleve.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, explain why you wanted to. Like, you've got this amazing car dealership, you've got a son, you seem to have a very happy life. I don't understand why you want to get your head punched in.
Oh, it's not about getting your head punched in, it's more about challenging yourself. Mm.
Some people do marathons, you've decided to take this on.
Yeah, and it's been, we actually did it on our final, or fight night was on Friday night.
Oh, did you have one of these? My old accountant had this, like about 12 or 8 week build up, and then you start, and then you all get matched with somebody of similar ability and have the fight, and it's the ultimate test of character.
Yeah, it was. We'd been training for 6 months with Cyclone Tonga, and it was probably one of the best things I've done.
It was a round robin, wasn't it?
Correct, yeah. So there was the sub 80 kilos went first. And then there was the above 80 kilos. And
which one were you?
Above 80.
Did you get hit?
Certainly did. Still sporting a black eye and a bit of a busted nose, but loved it.
How did you feel, Cleve? Yeah, there you go, Cleve. How did you feel after you'd made the commitment, trained up, and then went and did it? How did you feel afterwards?
Well, it was all about, I guess, the power of commitment. And right throughout it, Cyclone was sort of keeping us on track. It was the mental thing. The hardest thing for me was obviously the fear factor, getting hit, getting hurt. And then throughout the training and so forth, it was, I guess, more or less how much longer the body takes to repair once you get a little bit older in life.
You know, the other thing, Cleve, was this part of it. When you're in that ring, you know, you've got, you know, working at Old Mac Mazda, running the show, you've got people, you know, oh, can you do this job? Can you do that one? You sort that out. You're on your own, mate. It's the ultimate.
Yeah, as I've heard plenty of boxers say before, there's nowhere to hide in the ring. I guess it's really true.
Wow.
It was kind of funny, though, from the perspective of making this television ad, because he had the match 2 days before he had to shoot a new TV commercial.
Oh, you were in the ad as well, Cleve?
Yeah.
With your black eye and broken nose?
No, well, the black eyes have healed, but there's a few bumps on the nose and on the noggin, so...
Can I run one by you? I don't know your personal situation. Would you have a children around 8 or 10 years of age?
Yes.
This is when it happens.
Wow. Well done.
How did you know that?
Well, you get a bit freer when your kids hit primary school and you look around and you go, huh, what'll I do? That's when I did my first triathlon. There you go. So I can see this is how it happens.
See, I shouldn't start these conversations, because for me I just went, why would a bloke want to go on and get his head punched in? But actually what you're explaining to me is that there's something seems to happen
it's
around
for Cleve,
that age.
And he feels bloody good about himself, I bet.
Yeah, it's been one of the best challenges I've set myself ever.
Will you do it again?
There is a strong possibility.
Oh, Cleve, you're not the sort of bloke who'd go, oh, I wouldn't mind running the Gold Coast Marathon, and that's what some people do. They're runners. Some people are cyclists. Some people are triathletes. Some people want to go back and play at a mature age AFL. You decided boxing was your go.
Exactly, and it's one thing I've always wanted to do is jump in the ring.
There you go. Okay, thank you, Cleve.
Why did you snot anyone, Cleve? How'd you go?
Got a couple of lucky shots in and I copped a couple as well. So.
Yeah, go and tell them. You knock someone out.
No. Oh,
you're a dear.
Cleve. Right, well done, mate. Love your work.
Okay, so this is now, I'm now understanding that this is a kind of a thing that happens for guys in their 40s. Is that, help me here.
Yeah, we're hardworking husbands who devote everything to our children and our wives. You know, if your wife has to stop working and you have children and stuff for a couple of years. And you just pour everything into your job, and all of a sudden, Cleve, gone, is that all there is? I want a little bit more.
Okay, so apart from boxing, there must be other things that people do. I'd love to hear about them, seriously. I never knew this was a thing.
Oh, this is blokes.
Blokes doing a thing in their after their 40s.
All right.
What did you take up at middle age?
Yeah, your middle age challenge to yourself. Blokes and women, but if you say I bought a Ferrari, we're going to hang up on you.
So yeah, it has to be a Mazda or a Toyota, apparently.
Jenny is from Ormo. Jenny... What did you take up in the middle stage of your life?
I'm 38 and I've just signed up for women's AFL.
Oh, awesome.
have you played before, Jenny?
No. Wow. No, I haven't played. I haven't played a team sport since I was 24, I think was the last time. And I just saw one of the other mums shared it that she was playing, and I thought, oh, just why not? I'll give it a crack. So... I've got my first carnival on Saturday, so I'm quite nervous, actually.
And how's your kicking? Have you kind of got the basics of the game down pat?
I've learned how to kick and I've learned how to handball. And I'm practicing my, fitness, I suppose, improving my fitness. I'm on the treadmill whenever I can
good
and just
you.
Doing
good.
Some exercise while the kids are eating dinner. I'm doing some core work and just... I don't know. I've just got to try and be ready because I'm expecting that I'm probably going to get smashed because I'm only tiny. So.
Well, you're playing the Crows. Congratulations. You're actually good enough for the Brisbane Lions team.
Thank you, Jenny. Well played.
Elliot of Belmont, what did you take up in your middle years?
I took up snowboarding.
Took it up at 40, Elliot.
At 40. I learned did you have to snowboard at 40.
Did you have to go and get a lesson with, like, six-year-olds and stuff?
No, it was a couple. I was actually lucky when I did start getting a lesson. There was nobody else turned up to except myself for a lesson that morning.
Oh, you got a one-on-one, right. And then all of a sudden you were hooked.
I got a one-on-one.
Oh, that's great.
Where do you do snowboarding? Was that in Brisbane? No.
No,
but you can have... No. There are indoor places that have fake snow. I just don't know there was one here.
No, there's not in Brisbane. There will be in hopefully June, July. There'll be a place opening up on, I'll say, the east coast of town, within 13K of the town. So, hopefully we'll be able to do all year round snowboarding and skiing in Brisbane.
Oh my God.
That's great. Snowboarding at 40. That's
And that's a fun world, the world of skiing and snowboarding. I wish I could still do it.
Todd of Eden Till, what did you take up?
I took up Taekwondo 5 weeks ago and I'm 49.
What made you do this, Todd?
My daughter is 10 and I've always wanted to get her into something self-defensive-wise, and so I thought I'd do it with her.
Oh, Ed understands.
Mate, my wife, Toddy, my wife is a sixth Dan black belt in Taekwondo and her, obviously done it her whole life. My father-in-law, Taekwondo Marty, hello, sir, if you're listening, what a wonderful surfer.
Come on, move on.
He's 60 and he still does it. It's great for you, isn't it? You get to stretch, you get to work on some kicks. It's fantastic.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Mate, you're not alone. Matt from Corinda, we can't get to everyone. He's Taekwondo in his 40s as well. John from Caboolture came back to Veterans Rugby Union. People just feel a little bit of a gap and go, I'm going to do it. You're right. You go, well, life's going to end one day. I'm going to have a go.
Might as well have a crack.
And of course, you got back to aerobics the other day, Marto, and you can still see that video, triplem.com.au. Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M. This is the
best. There it is. Theme song for My Kitchen Rules. And Pete Evans, Paleo Pete, is doing a big expose on Sunday night on Channel 7. On Sunday night, their show, Sunday night.
Oh, right.
But it is on Sunday night. Anyway.
Wow.
Paleo Pete joins us. How are you?
Oh, I'm terrible. I'm so hungry. All I've had to eat this week was white toothpaste. I had a cup of bleach to chase it down.
Look good. That's the important thing. You look good.
I do look good. As the people know, I'm just a skeleton with teeth.
It's mainly because you're standing next to that fat Frenchman. But anyway.
Yeah, now you're talking. If I had the energy, I'd high-five you. He's like a sack of Yoplait, a fat prick.
Now, listen. Formerly you guys, Paleo Pete, MKR was the top ranking show. You're now getting beaten by Married at First Sight in the ratings.
Oh, okay, sure. It's a stitch up, is it? Balding, deadbeat losers hooking up with desperate plastic surgery moles. That's not TV. That's the Channel 9 Christmas party.
But Paleo Pete, the Better Homes and Gardens chef, you know that Fast Ed guy? He said that Paleo is a scam.
He looks absolutely stupid. He looks like a Cabbage Patch doll that's had his head in a vice. And maybe Paleo's not a scam. Maybe Better Homes and Gardens is a scam.
How dare you?
Shut up. Maybe Dr. Harry isn't really a vet. I mean, what vets do you know that wear those Andy Cap hats? He looks ridiculous. He looks like he's been banned from race courses in the 40s. Maybe Fast Ed, as you call him, and Joanna Griggs are swingers.
That's enough. That's enough. Listen,
that's speculation.
It's not speculation.
Every time they do a renovation, they black out the windows. Why?
Yeah. Okay. Hydro. We're all onto it. Now, listen, let's get back into it. Finally, Paleo Pete, Channel 7 is advertising. Robin just mentioned it. You're going to be on Sunday night, but you're going to reveal an illness you have. What is it?
Yes, this is very serious. I've been suffering and suffering forever. And it's not just me. There's a support group. It's me, Bo Ryan, Nick Kyrgios, Bernard Tomic, both the Stefanovics, all the Trumps, and me.
Okay, what's it called?
It's called wankeritis. And it's crippling. It's crippling. We have those, you know, those coloured bands like they had for Live Strong?
Yeah, on your wrist,
Yeah, but we don't wear ours on our wrist, if you catch my drift.
Just tiny little ones, okay, that's enough.
I love you, Paleo.
You're running out of strength.
I hate my life so much. Could you send Peter Focaccia, please?
They'll darken your teeth, Paleo.
Goodbye.
Whoa, so upbeat. Music.
Yes, here he is from Triple M NRL from Fox Sports, Gordy Tallis. Top of the morning to you, mate. And Gordy, got to ask you this one quickly. What do you make of this Wayne Bennett, Benji Marshall, Anthony Milford? He said, she said. Did Benji Marshall say that Milford's not a good trainer? Wayne's having to go at the press. What do you make of it, Gord?
Oh, Oh, it's exciting. It's about time someone's having a go at Wayne and my name's not attached to it. Someone's not standing on my shoulders using one of my quotes. But, you know, look, Paul Kent's one of those guys that just doesn't... He doesn't make stuff up either, you know what I mean? Like, and he's not one of those journalists. Over the time, you haven't liked what he's written about you. At times, but he's not one of those guys that goes on hearsay. It'll be true, you know, mm-hmm. what he's saying. So
okay, there you go. Wayne Bennett accused him of lying.
That's a bit hard. But Wayne's under the pump at the moment, and we all know that. And it's because what Paul Kent, he went on about a 3-minute rant last night on our show, and he said everything about it then. And actually, I was just heading to the airport in Sydney, and Triple M Sydney just replayed the whole interview, so...
Hold on, tell us, I missed it, Gordy. I had to go to bed to get up for this.
Obviously, Kenty just told the whole story and went on a 3-minute rant about what Wayne's done to the media over the last, 20-odd years. And,
wow.
And then basically said, I'll tell you one person in this, Wayne Bennett is telling lies.
Whoa.
And that was his last quote when he signed off.
Oh, my goodness. Kent. We got ourselves a new feud, Gordy.
Oh, yeah. Thank Christ my name's out of it. because I love Family Feud. That's it. That little Grand Daniel, I love him.
He's good fun. We should go on, Gord. I've been on there once. I got beaten by a bloke that didn't speak English. So that wasn't good, we should...
Well, actually, Queensland took on New South Wales once, and that's when Greg Inglis was a young kid, and we got beaten by New South Wales. And I just could not stop looking at Bert's hair, so I was confused. I just couldn't stop looking at his hair or lack of.
Okay, let's talk a little bit of footy, because you've got something to give away at the end here, Gord. Give us a little crystal ball for this weekend.
Well, I'll tell you what, tonight's going to be a cracker. Oh. You know what I mean, mate, you've got the Raiders, you've got this huge big forward pack that in our Triple M course we call, we call a couple of them lab experiments. They're just so big. They're like all 6'4", 6'5", and 120 kilos. And Brisbane are a smaller pack. But Milford and Hunt are starting to hit a bit of form. So it's styles makes fights. So the Raiders are in form, and this will be a really big test for Brisbane. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to the way the Tigers bounce back after, getting rid of another coach. So these players really need to step up. And obviously it's Marvel round. So the Broncos jersey has been given away, Iron Man, but my boys, I've got to buy two. I've got to buy the Raiders one, which is Iron Fist, is it? And I've got to buy Captain America, which is the Cowboys. So,
it's a good
too. Your boys would love them, Gordy. I could just see them.
So for me, like all the old blokes love the traditional retro round, but the kids love this round.
Yeah,
and they love the jerseys. Yeah, so which one are we going to give away?
We're giving eight of them away.
We're giving them all away. We've already done the Broncos.
Well, I reckon the Raiders. I reckon we should, the bloke that's going to the game, the Raiders fan that's travelled the furthest to go to this game tonight.
I like that.
Well, you know what, Gord? It's a great idea. So let's give him away. Let's give him away. Thank you, Gord. We'll hear you on the M's.
Ring us now.
Yeah, of course.
Just call us, whichever one you want.
1-3-3-5-3. Tell us which one you're after. Gordy, tell us. We'll hear you on the M's. We'll see you on Fox. Thanks, buddy.
Cheers, guys.
Here he is. Former Brisbane Lion champion, Queensland ambassador, defensive coach for the women's Lions team into the grand final this weekend, part of the Triple M footy commentary team. Dan Merritt, lovely to have you with us.
Yeah, good morning, team. Good to be with you again.
No, before we get on to AFL, can I just talk? You're also the kicking coach for the Broncos.
No distracting.
You're not going to do this.
He's distracting, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Part of the reason why we wanted you here is because come Monday, when the women's Lions team actually win their inaugural premiership, you and Mardo are going to get the lion tattooed on you, right, Dan?
That's right. So in the event that we do win, and fingers crossed we do, I'll be coming there Monday morning with my mate, Loz, from Seventh Circle at the Woolloongabba Tattoo.
Yeah.
And Mardo, get your ass cheeks ready, mate. Shave them up or get them prepped.
Do you have to shave?
We're on Monday.
Shave them up, mate. Shave them up.
Hey, Dan, safety in numbers, and that's why I appreciate you coming. I don't know how I got involved with this. But are there any other guys from, when we won the premiership of the Lions, when we were fair dinkum good, 2001, 2003, are there any of those blokes might want to come down and get a lion on there too? Well, Loz, your tattoo mate's on fire. Why don't we just keep going?
Well, mate...
I'm calling out Simon Black.
Oh, Blackie is still around, so...
Has he got a lion tattooed on him anywhere? Why wouldn't you? If you've won a premiership, come on in and get a free tat. Get Acker. Where's he? Has he got a lion?
Make you feel better? Is this why you're doing this?
If there's more, and I'd rather be with some premiership winners.
Okay. Why are we just... We're just going to have a lineup of bare asses in the studio. It's like boarding at Brisbane Grammar. What is this?
So, Dan, where are you getting yours, by the way?
I haven't decided yet, but...
Ass. Double A, it's ass. These are ass tattoos.
And
these
how big?
Ass. Yeah, how big, Dan?
No, not that big. What, size of a business card? I don't know.
Oh, I was thinking more Apple sticker.
Oh, okay.
No. You have to be able to see it and read it and
smallest
know what it is.
Smallest class, yeah. There's nothing better. People go, what is that? And they get in real close.
Yeah, but
who are these people? Who are the people? Who are the people? In that role play, Marto, who are the people?
I don't know. Like,
do you know what I want? I want it to be Dan positioned so it just, if when Marto's wearing shorts, which he does all the time, that it just sort of, it's sort of like poking out. The tip of the tail is poking out above the shorts. So what? People go, what's that? That's what we're after.
A tramp stamp on the hip.
I had Brendan from Ipswich, Dan, because I do have the Suns one on my right bum. Blake saying, put that on your left and the rest of it, and you just have an M1, like the road in between the two. Yeah, thank you, Brendan.
But Dan, there's some actually really important things to discuss going into the weekend. Do the girls actually realise what is being sacrificed here and just how fundamentally important it is they win?
Exactly.
They do. We're catching the team bus down today, so I'll make sure I'll get on the loudspeaker.
Oh, they're an overnight dude. Are they staying overnight?
Yeah, we're going to get together tonight and have a few team meetings and just treat it as an away, like a travel game, but get all the team together.
Oh, should we be having a proper footy chat here? Well, who's the danger woman for the Crows, Ben?
Well, they've got a couple. Erin Phillips, she used to play WNBA, so she's a basketball.
God, I hope she plays well.
She's fit.
She's a gun. Yeah. And she's then really they've good. Got their full forward, Sarah Perkins. They call her Tex Perkins.
I like her.
She's a good
and,
kick.
And, yeah, she's a gun as well.
She had a good kick, Dan.
Is there any chance that the Crows could win?
There is. They've got a 50-50 chance of winning.
No, so. But, like, based on form and form.
Definitely. But we've got... You know, home ground advantage and the state behind us. So
that's right.
Apart from me,
fingers crossed. Apart from Marto,
You'll be able to see it. You'll be able to hear it. It's going to be huge. The Brisbane Lions women's team taking on the Crows. And if late in the fourth quarter, if the scores are level, and then off the bench comes a rangy redhead that looks like she might be wearing a wig with a beard to come and play defence for the Lions women's team, it might be Dan Merritt just coming to try and get this over the line. Good on you, buddy. We can't wait to see you and Loz, your mate, the tattoo artist, in the studio Monday morning.
Yes, can't wait, guys.
Go the Crows.
Okay, I don't know a huge amount about golf, and I also don't know a huge amount about Jason Day other than he's a Queensland boy.
He's but one of Marto's favourites.
He is.
I'm
learning
favorites.
That now.
I was saying to you, he was born in Beaudesert. His old man took him at 6 years of age. Imagine going down to Beaudesert Golf Club and enrolled him, and he was allowed to play six holes a day, I think. Moved to Rocky. Then the old man died and the mother said, oh, God, had three kids. She said, what do I do now? Gee, this one here, this Jason, seems to love a bit of golf. Went to Caralbin, used to be the old country club. That's where I got involved because I loved that joint. I had a girlfriend used to work there.
No. Right.
So he went down there to the school, the International Golf School, and just became this kid. And another kid who was also a golfer gave him a book on Tiger Woods. He read it and he practiced before school, at lunchtime, and after school, his whole life became golf. And what have we got now? At 13, he won the Australian Junior Masters. 13.
Wow. I didn't incredible know you knew story. All this amount about
him. Then the devotion, his mum sold it. They had a cheap house, but she sold that, took all that money and moved him back down to Caralbin. She threw everything into Jason, and now I don't know how much has he made.
So that makes this moment even more poignant because it's come out over the last
she was crook.
24 hours that he has had to withdraw from the World Golf Championships match play, and it's mid-round in Texas. So there was a press conference and everyone was asking...
Did you see the commentators? They said, where's he going?
Well, exactly right. They weren't sure if it was about injury or something else, and this is what he said.
Obviously, it's not an excuse or anything like that, and my back is fine. I'm 100% healthy. Everything's totally fine. It's hard to talk right now.
Give me a minute. No, it's all right. My mum's been here for a while, and she has lung cancer. At the start of the year, she was diagnosed with 12 months to live. Oh, it's so hard. She's going in for surgery this Friday, and it's really hard to even comprehend being on a golf course. It's been really hard to play golf lately in this year. It's been very, very emotional, as you can tell.
What a guy. So he's walked away mid-round, can't do it, and he's going to be with his mum.
His mum worked three jobs. She had three jobs going while he was at school to support him. So he's finally gone, hold on, I think I can look after my mum. Yep. He's in Ohio now. You know, yep. He's made nearly $36 million out of golf. He should be okay.
Well, we wish him all the best.
Who cares
we
about golf?
Jason and his family, cool. All the best. He's a great guy.
That's
really
heartbreaking.
Is.
Oh, Melbourne Grand Prix on this weekend. Enormous. The Formula One's back. Of course, the supercars are driving in conjunction. But one of the men doing the coverage for Channel 10 is Mark Webber. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Can we just confirm that you are a former Canberra boy?
That's right, mate. Well, Queanbeyan, mate. It's over the border. We put Canberra on the map.
If I remember, you were a big Raiders fan. Can I just play you this and see if you can identify this noise? Do you know what that is?
It's the Green Machine song, isn't it?
It's the Raiders horn. They'd play it before the game and after every try.
Oh, righto. So that wasn't around when I was back in the glory days, mate.
No, it's new. It's a new edition.
Well, how would I know that?
No, I thought you might have watched the NRL last weekend when they put on 40 points against the Tigers.
No, I'm happy they're doing well. And I was a ball boy, mate. I was more than a bloody
fan.
That's
right.
Oh, now, hang on. So did you ever pass the ball to big Glenn Lazarus or Kevvy Walters?
All of them, mate. Yeah, Lazo up the middle. He did some damage, didn't he? Oh,
wow.
Mark Webber, a ball boy. There you go. See, hey, Mark, can we talk about some F1? Now, I saw the other day that the cars are now bigger and that they're allowed to be... Does this mean that they're heavier, but they're somehow faster? Is that right?
Yeah, they've opened the rules up a little bit just in terms of downforce. So the aerodynamics is a big parameter in terms of lap time. So the guys are pretty excited about that in terms of getting back to lap times they should have been doing. Well, they were doing these times sort of 10 years ago, but the governing body liked the cars to go a bit slower just from a safety perspective, which is pretty boring for the drivers. But in terms of, because everything's over-regulated now, isn't it? So,
yeah, it is, mate.
But we want to go quicker, we want to go faster, and that's what they've tried to do. Now, the cars will go a big chunk faster this year, so they should look a lot better on the eye and should look pretty awesome on TV, mate, on Channel 10. So we're looking forward to it.
Channel 10 all weekend. What about Daniel Ricciardo? That's all we really want to know about. Will he be featuring in the winner's circle more often this year?
Yeah, he's not in the race on his own, obviously, so there's a few other boys around. But we are, we're definitely keen for him to do well, obviously. And he's the goods. We know that. He's absolutely world-class. He's at the front again. He's in for a really, really big year. And then you've got the usual suspects, which is obviously, Vettel and Hamilton, Daniel's teammate, Max Verstappen. So there's about four or five guys, mate, that are going to be on fire this year.
Is Hamilton a wanker, Mark?
He's... Mate, everyone does it a bit different, right?
So, no, yeah, that's not...
That'll no, I'll take that
that's
as a
all
yes.
We need.
Yeah.
So who do you reckon's going to get across the line first? Who's going to win?
I think Ferrari look good, to be honest. Ferrari look very good in testing, so either Kimi or Vettel.
Okay, well, they're very popular, especially in Melbourne. They love...
Ferrari are popular, you're right. But I'd love to see Daniel. I mean, the home crowd, and then and then Monday morning they're out of here off to China, mate. So they've got a long season. They've got this big weekend coming up. Obviously, it's massive for us. It's brilliant. We have global sporting events in Australia. We can never have enough of them, really. I think it's so great to put us on the map over there and the rest of the world, and everyone loves coming here competing.
Yeah, well, good on you. Nice, all right, Mark Webber, part of the coverage on Channel 10 all weekend for the Melbourne Grand Prix. Thanks, Mark.
No worries. Cheers, guys.
Best. Marto, Ed and Robin's Best of Brisbane.
Oh, this weekend has been Best Weekend Breakfast, and the voting has been Absolutely huge, guys. The nominations came thick and fast. We probably could have had 20 or 30 nominations if we had to be honest.
What a week it's been. It's been a great week for me. I like to go and test drive some of these.
Seriously, yeah. Check out our website. If you want some ideas for this week or any weekend in the future, you can check out these ones because people love them.
We had 300 nominations, so we had to trim to 10. And then people to vote on them. You know what? There is only one winner, but there are no losers in this.
No.
I went to that joint yesterday. I'll actually mention it. The Site Cafe at Banyo, St. Vincent's Road, near the train station. Incredible. They only got 5% of the vote because their community is only that big, but incredible joint if you're anywhere near that.
Okay, so we're down to our top three, and we will announce the winner. At number three, the wonderful Side Street Kitchen. Yay, in Maruka.
Where is that? Maruka.
Nominated by Naomi on Facebook. They came in third.
Number two, the Flying Nun Cafe at Samford.
Well done. Yes, golf claps all round.
Actually,
Julie.
Good pair. I've been there. That's a bloody great place. I think Charlie's the wife, the Meekins, they run it.
Okay, there we go.
And our winner. Our winner, and they came from behind, and they had a late surge, and they've taken it out. According to you, Brisbane, the best weekend breakfast is at Taste Buds Deli and Cafe in Kashmir. And Sandy from Taste Buds is joining us on the line. Congratulations, Sandy.
Thank you very much.
That's unreal. What's the key to victory, Sandy? That's what they always ask footballers.
It's community out here. We have a great community in Kashmir and we'd like to thank them all for their votes. And, everyone's fantastic out here. Fresh food, good service.
We do have a little plaque, a little trophy. You can display that proudly right across the weekend and beyond because you have been voted Brisbane's best weekend breakfast.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you, Triple M. It's been a great week and it's certainly generated a lot of talk around our area.
Hey, we haven't spoken to you. What's the number one selling breakfast dish?
Oh, that's a hard one. It'd be a toss-up between our bacon and egg roll, which is very popular, our sweet potato stack.
All right, it is called Taste Buds Deli and Cafe in Kashmir. Go along and say good day and congratulate them and get yourself some weekend breakfast. Look at all the nominations, triplem.com.au. There's so many great places to go and get a snack on the weekend. Thank you, Sandy. Lovely to speak to you.
Thank you. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Good idea.
Hey, we're just about out of here. Before we go, we do have to fix a grave error.
The Triple M bunker's just gotten back to us. It's taken a while.
Yes, indeed. Every day before 8:30, we play the pressure test. Today, Michelle from Chermside had five things to name within 10 seconds. They were native Australian animals, and we said she didn't win.
Remember she got four within 6 seconds and they went,
We got a whole bunch of calls saying that, no, she did win.
She got it in.
So we've gone back to the tape. We're going to check it now. This is for $1,000. Let's see if Michelle got that last one within 10 seconds.
Australian native animals.
Koala, kangaroo, echidna, emu. Oh, God.
One more.
Ornithorhynchus melanogaster.
Now,
she did.
Ornithorhynchus is what she said.
She didn't get the kiss out. She got ornithorhyn.
Stop it.
Oh, no, hold on. You got to have rules. She didn't get the kiss out.
Okay, an ornithorhynchus is, in fact, a platypus.
Mm. Why wouldn't you just said platypus?
Okay, well, because her husband was playing beside her and he gave the name. And I think that's in Ed Cavalier.
Well, it doesn't matter. I, to be honest with you, I didn't think she got the whole word in, but we've gone to the Triple M judges and we are very happy to say, hey, Michelle.
Yes.
The Triple M judges have come down on your side. You've won the money. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I can remember my parents using that word, but I couldn't remember what the bloody hell it was. Why did you use ornithorhynchus?
Because he screamed at me and I couldn't think of anything else. And I said to him when I got off, I said, you cost me $1,000. And he goes, no, it's a platypus.
I've been trying to
ring you guys back since it happened.
We've had a lot on, Michelle. But yeah, our producers just had a little... We got a couple of tweets and we had a couple of inklings. So we went back and had a close listen. And we're happy. We're really happy for you, Michelle. Congratulations.
$1,000.
Well done.
He made me even Google it. To make sure he was right.
No, it wasn't that. Yeah, we knew it was an animal. We just didn't know if you got it in under the time, but you did, so it's great.
Tell your smart-ass husband
Don't use five syllables when you could use three of platypus, all right? When you
well,
have 10 seconds.
Well, he wants to know who's the wombat now.
Them five words.
Well, actually, you know what? Well, you know what, Michelle? If he just said wombat, then we wouldn't have had this problem. So.
If you'd said wombat, they wouldn't have had the problem.
Just relaying the joke. Great stuff, Michelle. Okay, that's enough.
All right, that's okay. You got your $1,000.
Yes. $1,000 to you, Michelle, from Termside. Please don't share it with your husband. We've got to get out of here. $1,000 to win again just before 8:30 on Monday. Enjoy your weekend. Go the Bronx.
Go the Raiders. Go the Ornithorhynchus.
I'll go the Crows. Yeah, Monday we're going to see if Marto gets a tattoo on his ass.
Lions.
And let's never forget that Dan Merritt said this on the show today.
Marto, get your ass cheeks ready, mate.
out of context, that is wonderful. Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.